This is Daniel, your Game Master and Master of Ceremony.
This is Tori, and I play Duli.
This is Sorcerer, and I play Ty.
This is Becca, and I play Mirgrat!
And this is Odyssey, a Babylon 5 story. Welcome aboard.
I get this. Have you seen the traffic out there? Oh, it's monstrous. I can't believe it out there. It's just terrible. Let me put my... These old Centauri bones cannot handle this all the time anymore. You think it's a little bit of rain, and everyone goes out of their minds. So, again, I am sorry I am late. I have had way too much. I apologize. Now, can we get on with things? Where is everybody else? How am I the late one? And when? Fine. We'll talk to them when they get back from breakfast. This is what I get every time I do this. Oh well. At least somebody's here. And this would be you. Good. Thank you for showing up. I bet you're wondering. No, you're not wondering. You just want to know what's going on with the Metal Marie Celestia. Let me get my... hold on. Oh, little Hajana. That's good on the bones. Now. Fine. Excuse me as I take, as you humans call it, a Stanislavski moment. Because you are looking for a good storyteller, you are not good. Now, you sit, I have Jella, and I will tell you what I saw. Now, when last we had their little adventurer, their crew had found Dodger. If you do not know who Dodger is, go back and listen. What are you doing? There's 67 episodes in before you got here. Go back and listen. Go. For those who are up to date, let me continue. So they took Dodger through a system of, well, wormholes, for lack of a better term, that were originally an idea constructed by the Vorlons, something they called the Slipstream System. Well, they ended up on the other side of the Slipstream System and found something wonderful. But I'm getting ahead of myself. They have just come out of the Slipstream, and many of them, for their own safety and sanity, were left, well, in a state of unconsciousness through various chemical means or whatever, so they could survive the journey intact, with only Duli and Ty awake to do the actual navigation and flying. Full marks on Ty for navigating through an alien, well, what is this, an alien corridor no one has ever seen for hundreds of years. So, applause to Ty for doing that. So, about that time, to before they would get a good look of what is really out there in this strange world, they're told has the model maker, a person who might be able to help them deal with them being stranded this far outside of known space. They had to wake everyone up first, and unfortunately, they do not have hot jello like I do. Oh, so good jello. So, I guess we begin from there.
Now, while everybody, I believe you, everyone was woken up for this, because I know there was Ty and Duli looking at this, and I believe Mirgrat was woken up, and I believe Mirgrat had a check in this, but I believe most of the stuff right now is Ty and Duli, because you're the only two people on the bridge, if memory serves. Am I correct in this?
I think so. Ty is still on the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, your kid, by the way, has taken over what might be considered the captain's quarters. It's the quarters right off the bridge. He just kind of figured, you're piloting, I'll be here.
I mean, there's like, yeah, there's not a whole lot he can do to damage that, I guess.
Sound logic in turn, Tuvo.
Can entertain him.
Oh, that's right. Remember, part of this also was getting the information out of Tuvo last time by having Tuvo, Mirgrat, go into the brain room where the knowledge from the brains was also now incorporated into Dodger, so all of them could coordinate the little bits and pieces that were dissipated amongst the various brains when Milgram went down. Yes, I had written Milgram as both a plot point, but also an exposition point, so I had to readjust things.
Like, so, we weren't going to kill him off at the first opportunity.
I love how bloodthirsty my players are. So,
and yet none of us fight.
True. Yes, I know that.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, there are other ways.
Are you guys passive-aggressively murdering people?
Oh, my God. Quote of the week.
I ain't got time for that.
Oh, God.
That yes, I feel like that accurately describes our play style.
Passive-aggressive murder hobos. That's just... I'm going to put that out on my Facebook page, I swear to God.
Ty has only killed one person, unless you count the flesh ship. I don't know if those people are really dead or not, so...
Let's put it this way. Do you wonder if they're dead or not? Or do you just not want to consider the possibility that they're not?
I don't know if they're dead or not, so I have been not considering it, because we got a lot of this stuff going on right now.
There you go. I like that answer.
I don't know if Mira has killed anyone. Like, I'm not sure, like... They might just be, like, unreasonably callous.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's physically killed anybody that I can remember.
Yeah, but I don't, like, obviously Mirgaret has a -1 dex, but I meant, like, I don't think Mirgaret has put anyone in the path of death.
I don't think so. I know Ty has, if nothing else, with Aparo.
Technically Conair as well, and also Milgram, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. She definitely set Milgram up, so I technically count her as killing him, because that was the whole plan the whole time. It's not really, but if it happened, she was just like gonna accept it.
Tie. So, Victor in the passive-aggressive death count.
I am not shocked that Ty is the most passive-aggressively bloodthirsty.
I don't think see it as bloodthirsty. I see it as more of not my problem.
It's a survival thing. Like, she didn't do it on purpose. Like, she didn't think that Aparo was going to go try to get murdered. Or Conair. He just showed up. Milgram, she got him killed, like, not direct, she didn't personally do it, but if he was there because she put him there, so, yeah.
Knowing
that he would probably die, so, like, yeah. I was trying to keep her kid alive. She's not all that concerned about total strangers. She's not, like, okay about killing them, but she's not like that. Like, she's not gonna, like, sacrifice one for inactivity.
Yeah. Like I said, it's the not my problem situation. You know, it's not so much the would you lift a finger to save this person? It's sort of the, my fingers are kind of busy over here. I don't want to sacrifice one of my fingers for any of y'all. So, priorities. If you die, that's your problem.
Yeah, I feel like Ty's morality can be summed up, with the phrase, that sounds like a personal problem.
You do live longer if you don't get involved in other people's shit any more than you have to.
Let's just say there's a point there. There definitely is a point there, and I gotta go, wow, I can see J. Michael Straczynski writing this character and having so much fun with him. So the person who detected the array, I mean, it's a total array of space stations. Not all of them look exactly like Babylon 4. In fact, none of them look exactly like Babylon 4. Now, granted, nobody here has probably seen Babylon 4, you know, other than maybe a record, maybe a newscast, a couple of pictures here and there, but it's not like anyone's been on it, been involved in the process, flown past it, considering that it was under construction for a while and then vanished, about 8 years ago, and reappeared twice. No, actually only reappeared once 5 years ago, and then, okay, it disappeared again, and that was the end of that. But it's one of those mysteries. It's kind of like if you spend a lot of time on the water, especially going international shipping lanes, you may not know what the Marie Celeste is, or you may not know what the Titanic looks like exactly, or what ships are lost in the Bermuda Triangle, but you got a decent idea. And if you saw something, you went, huh, that kind of looks like the Titanic, and I think that's kind of look like the Marie Celeste. Okay, that look, something on the side there says it. Okay, let's do with that. I think for Ty, if nothing else, as a shipboard person, would have at least an understanding of, oh, I'm fairly certain that's a Babylon 4. Also, if memory serves, I think it was Ty that made the culture role human, a culture human role last time, if memory serves. So,
I don't remember, maybe. She has that, so, it's reasonable. Mm-hmm.
I remember there was like a shocking role. It's like, oh my God. And it was like, for once, Mirgrad didn't make it. It was actually somebody else. But yeah, so here before you are variations of Babylon 4. And some of them are very stark and different variations. I mean, you could probably make out a couple of them look kind of clunky. Some of them look crystalline rather than metallic. Some of them look like they had some embellishments that didn't work. A couple of them look, well, not quite organic, but more of that Geiger-esque flow that you see on some Minbari ships, and a couple that you actually see on Brikiri vessels as well. But it looks like variations on these themes all around.
Okay, that's weird.
Which I believe sums up Ty's entire reaction for this in a lot of ways. That's weird. Who wants lunch?
Pretty much.
I have to appreciate Ty's I can't do anything about this, so I'm not going to worry about it attitude.
It's just easier.
Yeah. So, what do you do now that you've been presented with this particular oddity?
There's nothing we can do.
We ignore it and keep going to the planet because we gotta find this model maker guy if that person actually exists, which I don't really know what's going on here. There's a lot of models. There's a lot of models for sure, so maybe.
So
listen, I just drive this thing.
So if you want to do a scan for life forms and something like that, you're welcome to do that using Starship Operations, or I believe it's Operation Scanner. Sorry?
I don't have that. I only have piloting.
Okay.
You want me to do that?
Give it a shot. It's not, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think any of us have that, if I remember from the last time.
Okay. You can try the pilot, but because pilot and scanners are two different things, it's going to be at a fairly large negative. But let's see what you got.
Okay.
What was that?
22.
Okay. Like I said, still at a negative. You are getting life signs, which is about much as you can figure out with the new and strange, unusual scanner devices. Again, you're on a alien ship using alien technology that is kind of replicated based on what you know about scanners, which is limited. So it's literally Dodger's attempt to figure out what it is you're talking about creating to scan for something. So it's very, very limited. But it can say that, yes, there are life forms on the planet. There are several life forms in the rings. And as for density of life forms, the planet is still very much Earth-like. So there's a lot of trees and minor animals on the planet. Looking for sentient life is a little trickier with what you have.
That's fine. At least we know there will be oxygen, presumably. Mm-hmm. There's life in the rings. Sorry. There's life in the rings. I just yawned really big.
It's okay. You're all right. I heard you yawning a bunch. Everything okay?
Yeah, it's just been a busy week. It's fine.
Okay, no problem. Again, if it's too much, you need to bow out or whatever like that, no worries. We can work with you, but I'm very happy that you've come to join us because you are always bring your A game.
Sorry. It was inevitable.
When Chrissy starts yawning, we all start yawning.
Mm-hmm. Listen, that's how it works. Like, I feel no shame. This is a known phenomenon.
That very true. Sorry, anyway, I still remember an episode of Beekman's World about that. Anyway, go ahead.
So there's life in the rings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not normal, so I think we should check that out.
Okay. So during this time, because it will take you a little bit of time to get there, because it's not just like instantaneous Babylon 5. Hi, we're in center of the Earth. It's more of the, you know, you exited out from where the slipstream hole was, and you still have to traverse, you know, several rings, as it were, to get to the planet. But you get decent scans from where you are. So during this time, is there anything you guys want to do?
Am I still unconscious?
I believe you are, actually.
Okay.
I
guess I'll get ready up.
Okay. So, thankfully, with the adrenaline and with the, because the adrenaline will certainly wake people up.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, wake them up the normal way you wake someone up from a nap, not shoot them with adrenaline.
Fair enough. Give me a medical check.
Oh, God.
It's got to be very low, so I just want to make sure, Ian.
I don't even have that, I guess.
Okay. Knowledge medicine or medical or...
Nope. I have medical, but it says I can't use it untrained. I don't know if that matters.
Yeah, it means if you don't have any points in it, then you can't use it. All right.
Yeah, I have 1 point.
I have 1 point.
I give that to myself.
Okay. Well, if you have 1 point in medical, that means technically you've had essentially first aid training. So go ahead and give me a roll in it. If that plus your intelligence and...
17.
17. Okay. So, again, I was just making sure you didn't botch... But basically what this means, you kind of go around and you don't quite walk up to everyone and scream, "Wake up!" and smack them right in the face. You instead kind of be, you know, you kind of walk, wander over. Hey, wander closer. Hey, wander closer. You know, tap them with your boot. Come on, get up. Rise and shine. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. Whatever the fuck that means. But it takes a little while because, again, everyone was sedated, but you don't know how long everyone's been out for, because the amount of time that you, when you were in slipstream, you could have been gone 2 minutes or 2 years, and it both seems like the appropriate amount of time that you were gone.
I have had naps like that.
Too bad they don't have wristwatches in the 90s future.
Sorry, what was that?
Too bad they don't have wristwatches in the 90s future.
Okay, true. Again, if you check your timepieces... that is a good question. I didn't even thought.
Well, but there's theory that timepieces involved with the time event are also skewed. It had to be checked with the timepiece that's outside of the time event.
Well, according to your
like
own...
I said, I've had naps like that.
According to your own timepiece, you've been in the slipstream vortex for about 8 hours. So if that's the case, most likely the people who took the sedative, it wasn't like a huge, you know, knockout sedative. It was basically like melatonin on crack. Yeah, waking them up is going to be fine. Now, again, as a person who has taken melatonin a number of times, you normally wake up fine. But there are plenty of days where you wake up and you go, wait, what? It's okay. Tuesday. Okay, I get the concept of Tuesday, I think. It's that sort of level of the, okay, I'm up, I'm functional. Coffee may or may not be in my future. But
I'm taking melatonin, it's never done anything for me.
Yeah, you're kind of a lightweight, my man.
Wait, everyone manages to wake up. Again, I'm not even going to ask for fortitude saves or will saves or anything like that, just for dramatic effect. Might as well just, you know, you guys take the time, if nothing else, because of the transit it takes to get there, it's time enough for everybody to wake up, get a little something in their system. Yes, water is available. You don't ask questions. Yes, food is available. Again, you probably shouldn't ask questions. It's mostly from decanters that are, you know, installed into the hull of the ship. So there is a food product, a fluid product, a water product. So nobody is going to starve to death, dehydrate, or anything else like that. One disadvantage you're noticing, there's no showers on this thing.
I can assure you that Mirgarat did not notice.
Notice, care.
Either. Both.
I've wondered about that too, because the Narn have kind of a reptilian look to them. And
I bet they shed their skins.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering if they even do something like a shower. If they have some other method of cleaning.
Dust bath. So, you take dust baths.
Yeah, dust baths, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Or okay. You know, retro future sonic bath.
Well, most people in Babylon 5 do actually talk about the sonic showers, and only the command structure gets, as they kept saying, real showers, because when John Sheridan, he went up, wait, I get a real shower? He's like, it's only for high levels. They're like, oh my God, I get a real shower! Because everything else was sonic showers, which, again, the concept of, to me, it seems a little weird, but basically fine, whatever, it's sci-fi. But
I would honestly love a sonic shower. It takes forever for my hair to dry.
Fair enough.
There's a book I'm reading right now that's set about 2050, 2060, and they still have regular showers, but they don't use towels anymore. They have drying tubes. You basically stand in and warm air blows everywhere and you get dry.
Huh.
I always thought that would be cool.
Yeah, I can look for your skin.
What was that?
What was that, Ty?
It doesn't sound very good for your skin.
Yeah, no, that does sound like it will be very drying.
Yeah.
Also, my hair would get so very tangled.
Yeah, well, I would be like standing on fucking end constantly, and I already have issues with this due to the wild swings in humidity we've been having recently, so yep.
It could be worse. It could be like Blade Runner, where you literally stick your head into something that looks like a goldfish bowl, and the air just kind of whoosh, and suddenly your hair is fine now.
Yeah. That's so you can tell Blade Runner was written and directed and mostly acted by men.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, not metrosexual men.
Yeah. Very, very straight men.
Or just like people with short hair. I don't know.
But yeah, so there are no sonic showers. There's no regular showers. Cleansing is as needed. Now, again, I could see from a biological standpoint, since this is essentially a bioship, the other alternative I've seen instead of a dust bath has been essentially an oil bath, where essentially oil, like something equivalent to a olive oil, is applied to the skin, and a scraping tool is used to basically...
It's called a scritchel!
There you go!
Okay, how do you know that?
SEA.
I do medieval reenactment. Roman baths are a thing that we talk about sometimes.
And not only that, but in the Roman times, gladiators would sell their runoff as perfume.
Listen, the Romans were weird about a lot of shit.
Yeah, that's just weird.
Also, I'm pretty sure it couldn't have smelled worse than Axe.
Well, there's that. But again, they did it because of the pheromones. Because you have the manly man person who had just gone into combat sweating like a pig. He's got to produce some sort of pheromones. So somebody went, smell like a gladiator. Okay, I'll do that.
I'm pretty sure that was just an excuse. I think people bought gladiator oil for sex stuff in ancient Rome. knowing literally anything about the ancient Romans, I am pretty sure that is what was going on.
I'm sorry, I love the fact that... So the ancient Romans, sex stuff. Okay, moving on. but anyway, with this area, again, there might be some... Again, we'll figure this out later. But essentially a secretion that can be produced in a similar vein to olive oil, that if you had a... What was it called again, Becca?
Strigil!
Have a Strigil.
I'm not sure that's how it's pronounced. I never took Latin. Strigil.
Close
enough. Sounds right.
But yeah, if you had a such device, a Strigil, then you should be able to essentially clean yourself off that way. You guys,
or you could do it as a group activity like the Romans did.
Oh, there's that too. Because how else are you going to get your back?
Or we could just take on some water when we land on this planet, inevitably purify it, and people can take baths every few days. Not all the time, but, you know, like, once a week should be fine.
Also, yeah. Just, like, take a camp bath. Be responsible.
Yeah, you
exactly.
know.
Anyway, as we now talk about more and more about the lives of the functionality of living on a bioship.
I mean, I ain't taking a bath in whatever secretes from the bioship. So... In case anyone needed clarification about what I think it is,
it's okay. I don't know what it is. It probably causes pimples on it.
Probably pee. I'm not doing it.
I mean, it could be a variety of, like, there are, y'all, I was in one of my Discord servers counted one night, the human body produces so many different fluids.
That's true.
Like, We were comparing humans to cars, and we have cars so fucking beat, y'all.
But yes, once everyone's awoken, which means Mirgret, yes, congratulations, you're back in the game.
Yay!
But so is everybody else. Now, what this also means is that once everybody's awoken, everybody wants to know where you are, what's going on, and even White Mountain... I love that as a wrestler name for him, too, by the way. The Drazi White Mountain! Kaluta! But, yeah, so even he shows up, because he was watching over Connor's body for funerary rites, and everybody else, you know, everything's taken care of. But him, Shokar, Eric, everybody, even Tubo, everybody gathers on the bridge. One, it's got the best view, like, period. But also... Everyone just wants to know where we are. What are we doing here? And as you get closer to the planet and the rings, which, again, you want to take a look at, some of them do identify why do there looks like there's starships and other things out here. Is this place inhabited? What's going on? Hmm. So, again...
Yeah, probably that last one.
Nobody
Sorry,
knows.
What was that?
Yeah, probably that last one.
But even, you know, again... People like even Shokar, whose question is, how do we get to the planet and what do we kill? What do we kill? How do we cook it? Is it good with bacon?
I think we know the answer to that. Last one is always yes on the internet. I don't even like bacon, but I know it's a meme.
Do you not like any bacon? Because there's a variety of bacon options out there now.
I mean, I will eat bacon if my dad is making it and I'm eating breakfast and it comes with eggs, but, like, I don't really care for just, like, bacon.
Okay.
So, in other words, you eat it if it's presented, but it's not something you sought after.
I would rather have ham, if I'm being honest.
But being truly Canadian. But, so even people like, you know, Shokar had that. Kupusek looks at it in wonder from almost a distance point of view, but he just, again, just stares out the windows the whole time. Aparo actually does come up. He is healing enough that with some assistance from Eric, he can actually make his way up to the bridge. He finds the first chair he can get his hands on that isn't being occupied by either a captain or a pilot and sits his ass down, but he at least gets a chance to look at this too. Yorni is mesmerized. She and Tuvo are like side by side, closest to the window, doing the, oh wow, what is this? Now that you've gotten everybody awake, everybody has come to the bridge, a lot of people are in very much awe, because again, this is a new planet nobody's ever seen before. You're in a section of space nobody's ever seen before. Mirgrat, give me a medicine check.
Okay. 30.
I figured I didn't wait for you to come to your own conclusions, but since we were just kind of moving along, I figured I'd, you know, give a little prompt. Again, you take some time to check out everybody else to make sure that the transition period from when everyone nodded off to over here on the other side of the slipstream, everyone came out fine. And with a 30, Yeah, for the most part, everyone came out fine. Most of what seemed to be had was strange dreams. And that was your name.
That happens when you take a Benadryl nap.
Yeah, it's true. Or I'm going to say it, even not just Benadryl, but the other stuff for me, the melatonin, that also gets you weird-ass dreams. But, nothing traumatic for your knee or anything else like that. Just strange and unusual, little trippy dreams. That's about as close as they can get. She did wake up essentially in a cold sweat, but she seems to be fine. But everybody else...
Yeah, that sounds like a Benadryl nap.
Yeah. Everyone seems to be waking up very well, but they're taking in the sights. Yes. So, they actually do look at... Go ahead.
Good. Sorry. Good.
Right, but I say most of them actually look at Ty in the, okay, we're here. So now what do we do?
I shrug, I don't know. I did not ask to be put in charge of this expedition. We will be arriving on planet in the next 2 to 7 hours. Or near the planet.
If you don't want to be in charge of the expedition, maybe somebody else should, and you can focus on piloting.
Fair point. Y'all can hold elections. I will abstain. Do not vote for me.
That's a very Thai thing to say.
If nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will not serve.
No. I'm sorry. I believe the correct phrase would be, if nominated, I will not run. If elected, I will punch you in the face.
Yeah, that sounds better.
I could genuinely believe LBJ said that. knowing what we know about him on a personal level, yes, that also sounds like him.
Mm. Yes, very much so. Just ask Jumbo.
We will be arriving on planet in 2 to 7 hours after we check out a reading we got in the rings. No, I don't know what it is. Don't ask questions about what it is. Planet has some nice trees, probably. Or maybe they're ugly trees. Can't tell from here.
It has trees of some kind.
Yes, I love that. Planet has lovely trees, I assume. Or ugly trees. Who cares? There's trees. Next question. But that does bring matter as everyone starts going. Even Kali, who is normally a person in charge, has also recognized that for the most part, depths, she is not in her own. But again, even she looks over, says, looks over basically now at Duli and Mirgrath. She says, look, the only reason we're here is we were directed. There was this kind of, I guess you could say voice or urge or, Kaluta says, more of a kind of a need to be a place, need to be there, as if everything was certain in that place. And I, without uncertainty, had to be there. And I'm not getting the gravel in my voice right, but you get the idea. To which even Panini goes, yes, that was my cousin. That was cousin. She's good like that, yes. How is it that we are never appreciated in our lifetime?
Or afterwards, for that matter.
That's true. I'll have to add that to the pillow I have knitted in my room. But so now, this does bring a question. I am just a simple cinematographer. And these are my performers and crew. And we have a security officer, a warrior of the hulking arts. We have a chef. We have a nurse. We have looks over at Yorni, and his eyes kind of go a little wide. And he's like, one of them? And we have... looks over at both Aparo and Kutbusek, and we have some rangers. Quite a, what is the word I'm looking for? What is it the humans say? Drag-tag bunch of miscreants?
Mirgarat clears their throat, which, considering the fact that they have throat plates, sounds like a garbage compactor. Which is a sound I will not be able to replicate with my fleshy human vocal cords, but listeners, you can imagine it at your leisure.
Sound files will be available in the future.
Adds, I believe that I will take charge of this mission.
Yeah, why not?
Sounds
good. I vote for Mirgarat.
Mirgarat's good.
Congrats, Mirgarat. You are now captain.
I think it is odd that people didn't already assume Mirgarat was in charge, considering they're the whole reason people are on this ship in the first place.
Partially, yes. People like Kali, again, they felt the urge, but they also recognized that the special agent may have had some sway in this regard. Mm-hmm. That would be Dooley. Other people, again, had history with others. Aparo assumed that the three of you were some sort of triumvirate.
Nope.
Yorni will always follow Dooley, no matter what. Tuvo follows two people. Mom and the boss, which is Mirgarat. And since Mom has said, I don't want the job, is sticking with Mom, but is saying, okay, Mirgarat, what do you want?
Mirgarat.
He doesn't really get a vote because he's a literal, like, middle schooler.
Yes. Someone like Kupusek is just taking the lead because even as a ranger, while he has the ability to lead and the ability to go forth, he is also a ranger Pokmara, which is nothing bad, but they're not known as the greatest of warriors. They are known as the greatest of observers. They watch. He is basically a spy rather than the knights of old. And that's what he excels at. So that's why he's kind of airy in that regard. So a lot of them, the only person who has any sort of command, only two people who have any sort of command history is Kali, who, again, as she mentioned, she's way out of her depths. She thought it was strange when Babylon 5 went to war against Earth, not to mention the war against the shadows and everything else that happened after. But so she's willing to step down and say, look, I'm security. I'm good with that. I'll pilot the other shuttle. I'm good. The only other person with any sort of leadership experience is Padini, who has been a director, which is as close to leadership material as anybody else on this vessel has.
I don't think anyone wants him in charge.
I don't think so either.
No.
Like, Ty might honestly be more willing to be the captain if that was the other choice.
Well, Padina even says, I am just a cinematographer, a storyteller. I am here to be chronicler, and I will be and my crew will assist however we can. Oh, I think somebody here has some sort of training somewhere besides our acting and the physical profession. Anyone? Anyone? Oh, look, someone over there is a painter. Which, again, I probably need to make stats for these people anyway, but essentially there's, you know, random crewmen. You have your red shirts, or in this case, no shirts.
They're all performer class.
Yes, they are.
That's fine. That's what I assumed.
But again, even performer classes can have side hobbies. Extra points they put into something, you know, unusual.
Yeah, but also I think Mirgarat's going to be in charge of this.
Yeah, pretty much. So that leads us to the question is, now that the captainship has been established, we now know who the captain is, who the pilot is. We know who what is essentially now the main medical officer, because the captain is also a medical officer, but has other responsibilities.
Well, the nurse's name is Eric, right?
Eric, yeah.
Eric, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's now your medical officer.
Mirgarat will only need to consult for difficult cases. We've got Eric on the case. We've got Eric. Eric's good.
Yeah.
And again, so this now becomes the question. Now that this the captainry has been established, Eris captain, what is our next course of action?
Oh, I assumed that Ty was going to get us close enough to do a landing party.
I pilot us towards this life sign in the rings because that's not normal, and I thought it was a good idea to look at that, but we can always skip that and go to the planet, I guess.
No, your thing sounds fascinating! Please, get us closer!
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay. So, for simplicity's sake, here's some good news. There is somebody who does have operations scanners on board. That is Kali. She's done with security scanners before. She actually has done some training as an officer, even though she's basically a ground pounder. But she actually has a little bit of training, basically by the fact that she is a bridge officer, to use a term, of the Marie Celestia. So she can at least help with ops. That's a good news. The other person who actually can help with some of the scanners, not in the traditional sense, is Yorni. She actually says, I think there's a few things I might be able to try to get a better readout or listing or something to that effect. May I go try? By the way, she's not asking the captain. She's asking Dulee.
Oh.
That's correct. Captain's in charge of everything. Delegation is important. Murgrat understands that.
Well, if she's asking Dulee, she'll kind of glance over at Murgrat and pause for just a moment. If Murgrat doesn't say no, she'll say, sure, go ahead and lend a hand where you can.
Okay. She says, I'll go and set up the processor for what I need. Excuse me. She goes and she wanders away. Everyone give me a notice check.
Yes.
Ty, you're kind of busy piloting, so that's fine.
I mean, I assume I don't have to do much except stand there, but, you know.
Okay. 23.
23,
Dooley, no problem. You don't have to do much because, again, Dodger will pilot a lot, but he appreciates the input a lot of cases. So you're definitely utilizing a lot of your piloting skill, but also you're also getting used to what Dodger can do. I'm still looking for Becca.
24.
Okay.
Not bad.
So a few things you notice. One, yes, you're getting a much better idea once you get closer to this one area of the rings. There are a couple of these, if not completely life-size, some of them are slightly larger, some of them are slightly smaller versions of Babylon 4. You also notice that some of the other rocks and stones in this ring, which again are still titanic in size, are spherical. And some of them actually are even smaller than that, and they seem to be moving not unlike insects, a hive of insects. Not saying that these are the bugs, but as in, like, if you look at a beehive from a distance.
We've got a living rock situation going on, I'm guessing.
Quite possibly. Again, there's just a lot of movement and things going on in and around this one Babylon 4. This one actually seems to have, besides that, the color is completely wrong. Looks like it's a much better attempt at utilizing an exact replica in both size, shape, usage, and even materials, except the materials don't look like they're metal-based, they look like they're crystalline base.
That just sounds fucking cool.
okay, oh well, I mean,
good for whoever made this model, it's awesome.
You can't really build a space station that big anywhere except space, and I assume that they don't have a whole bunch of union workers out here doing it, so it's probably drones.
Okay.
Is that?
So,
yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Dooley, you noticed that Tuvo followed Yorni out the door.
Okay.
I mean, that's my intern!
Everybody else is busy looking at other stuff and trying to figure things out. Interestingly enough, Tokar is interested, but he has actually now decided he's going to take a look at the galley to see what he can do. He knows about the milk and cheese, but even he's like, we can't just live off that. He actually has this massive backpack with him that not only has his big cleavers, and when I mean big cleavers, I mean like tactical combat cleavers, two-handed. Awesome. Which, by the way, two-handed cleavers do exist. I've seen them. but as it turns out, he also brought with him a collection of spices.
I knew he was a good pick.
Well, here's a question.
Uh-huh.
If he how to say this, shows the spices to the ship? Can they maybe produce something like it?
He's going to find out.
Okay.
If you actually tell him, it's like, if you bring the spices to the ship, can the ship produce it? He just looks over and goes, I shall endeavor to find out. Ship, I have many requests. And as he mutters on his way down stairs. Yeah, out the door and kind of down. Haluta has taken what might be considered the security place in that he is standing by the door, leaning against the wall with his arms crossed as if he's waiting for something to happen. Aparo and Kupusek are also trying to help Kali with some of the various stations that have started to emerge around the bridge to help with things like scanning, relaying information, things like that, coordinating with the brain functions so that, again, this becomes more operational by humanoid standards. What you also notice again is that, yes, this one version of Babylon 4 seems, like you said, have the musics. And yes, Ty mentions that these might be drones. I think now is the time for a couple of cards. Because how do I move this forward? And survey says, by the way, a card literally fell out of the pack. It was Moment of Glory. And I'm like, it's a little early for that. Okay. All right. So it takes a moment for you to realize as Dodger in the choir of voices begins to say, does anybody else hear the song?
What now? Can I make a telepathy check to see if I do?
Go ahead and make a telepathy check. And as to answer Ty's question, when you say, the what? He says, the song. I am hearing a song.
31, natural 20, baby!
Okay.
I hear that fucking, I better hear that fucking song.
Okay, what, I'll get to Mirgrat in a second.
Oh boy.
Oh no.
So, Julie, you had a question I heard a second ago.
No, I'm good.
Okay. But, you know, Ty asked again, what song? The song. I think I hear it. It's something else. It's not here. It's, I'm gonna throw a die here a moment, just a moment. Okay. So that's when Kali says, I think I understand what it's saying. Hold on a second. Ship Dodger Barbara, whatever your name is. Yes.
Yes.
Chief, okay, the scanner panel, can you have it do, like, can you detect, and starts rattling off some frequencies, some everything else like that, and went, oh, I think, and after some adjustment, where this is, again, for those who are not prepared, a couple of essentially tympanic membranes.
No, I don't like ear anatomy.
Sorry.
I was just going to ask it if he could hear the fucking song, but I guess this works too.
Turns out what is going on is that it's not so much a song like, you know, Mirgrat is looking for. It's radio frequencies.
Mm-hmm.
There actually is a song being sung on an open channel, shortwave channel. Again, it doesn't go very far, but there actually is a song being sung on a shortwave channel. Now, I know somebody in the NPC group has this. Does anybody speak Mimbari?
Nope.
I do not have the language feat, however, I do have knowledge Mimbari culture, and I do have linguistics as a skill.
Okay.
Where are my languages?
Languages are page 2.
So, okay. Can I roll linguistics?
I'll get to you in a second. You've got another d20 already on your hands that we're going to deal with in a second.
Oh, right. I have my baller telepathy roll. Carry Wait. On.
Page 2. Is that the fluency?
Fluency.
Okay, then no.
Okay. So there is at least one person on the bridge who does speak Mimbari. That would be Aparo. Aparo actually recognizes it as a dialect of Mimbari, a very strange dialect of Mimbari, singing a worker song that was used
by... I knew it! They're singing Hi-Ho from Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
Okay, they're singing Hi-Ho from the Seven Dwarves. If the Seven Dwarves were written by Mimbari poets 2,000 years ago.
I think my point stands.
Virtually identical.
Now, granted, it would be hysterical if, you know, again, using cinematics and whoever owns the rights at the time, you know, be like, there's a song coming through. Well, quick. Oh, this is a frequency bender. I can get that frequency. Okay, let's get this through here. Okay, and just dial into that frequency and... Oh, hi-ho, it's off to work.
No, Dan, you can't sing anymore. We're gonna get copyright slapped.
You have like 15 seconds before they really start pushing you, but yeah.
That's okay. I'll just stick with the two lines and not even go into the whistle thing. But and again, if this is Warner Brothers, there's probably an equivalent on their end too. I just don't know it.
No, it's Disney. That's a Disney movie. We're going to get
sued. But like I said, there is probably a working song that is owned by Warner Brothers that could be used in its stead.
Yeah, that's fair.
Sorry. If they could get away with it from The Simpsons. Oh, hi. Oh, hi. So...
This is a legally distinct song.
Sometimes that comes into play. We represent but are legally distinct from the Lollipop Guild.
Exactly.
Yeah, there is this kind of song that's coming through. It's an ancient, I guess you would, in human terms, it's closer to a sea chanty. But it is, again, 2,000-year-old Mimbari sea chanty being sung by multiple voices. Now, that's what you experience. Mirgret.
Yes, Dan.
As the telepath, you go, okay, you basically press your face up against the glass because everything is line of sight, so you're like, I have to get closer, and open yourself up to, like, okay, come on, telepathy, what do you got for me? And are immediately kind of blasted a bit by the noise. And it's not the huge, you know, like, I'm in a room full of telepaths trying to have a conversation like a cocktail party sort of blast. It's more of you're stuck in a noisy hotel kind of blast. You know, it's not like, you know, bad parties or anything else like that happening out there, but it's more of the, it's noisy, all right, fine. But you can tell from that there's a specific place that all these thoughts seem to be coming from. And they are, the interesting thing is some of them are very alien, even to you. And so, at least one, you can, you know that phrase, sometimes you can tell the song by the notes you don't hear?
I believe that is jazz.
Yes. I believe it's Count Basie.
Which is all about the notes that you don't play.
Yeah. I was about to say, I knew I screwed up that quote entirely. In this case, the void that you sense is almost more louder than the songs itself. The void... Okay.
Oh, sorry. You said it's all coming from the same place. So, like, are we dealing with a hive mind? Is this a hive mind, Dan?
Oh, I'm gonna spill all the beans immediately and not make leave this adventure for you guys to find out. You and your crazy dog.
Okay, listeners, I want it on record. I'm putting my money on Hive Mind.
I think it's a big old computer.
ooh, okay, okay, we got, you know, we got odds on hive mind, big old computer.
Dan is just like seriously taking notes while he shoves the plot cards to the side.
Sorry, there's a beautiful, if you, there's a couple of guys who do stuff about D&D online, and there's this one guy who says, okay, do you know what's going to happen next? And the player's like, oh my god, it's a giant dragon. Okay, we have to prepare for the giant dragon. And we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Oh my god, he's going to kill us all. Oh god, it can't be that bad. But what if the dragon has zombies? Well, we can do that, we can do this. We'll prepare for this, we'll prepare for this. Okay, if that happens, well, that'll be fine. And that's the players talking. And they said, okay, GM, what is it? Ah, you've dreamed up my suspicious, you've thought up my suspicious plan. GM writes down, do what players thought up.
Yep.
Much better idea. So, oh, by the way, nobody asked Dooley. Do you have money down on anything?
Computer. We all know Dooley doesn't have any money.
Yeah.
Sorry, was that too hard?
No. She doesn't. What little she has, she holds on to because she doesn't know when she's going to get any more. And also at this point, it's like, what use is money? We're in the middle of freaking nowhere.
I know, that's why I'm here, guys. Well, would be were they not in a telepathic trance, so willing to bet with it. Like, yeah. They're not going to use it for anything else.
In about 2 weeks' time, you're going to be doing the same thing as Firefly. You don't bet with money, but you have like this label of chores on small pieces of paper.
Yep.
I think that is actually really clever, and I liked it a lot.
And yeah, there's going to be a transaction. There'll be a transaction rate for, you know, so many chores equals this new spice that the cook has designed. I'll give you 5 sweeping and 1 laundry if I get that new spice.
That's the point at which Shepherd pulls out the box of strawberries.
And so, we all become cats with the red dot.
So anyway, but you can feel this again. There is a sensational amount of the voices you hear, because again, you're at least getting line of sight. You're getting what might be considered aura or psychic residue, rather than, you know, going into a person's mind. You're getting like the traces left behind by beings, and even the traces you're getting, considering you got a natural 20, don't feel. I'm trying to think of a good term that doesn't sound weird, particularly in an alien setting. But the phrase that comes to mind is not fully human. So I would almost say primitively sentient.
Robot drones.
Hive mind.
Oh, you guys are going to be so pissed when you find out.
Oh, no.
I guess that means it's either both or neither.
But everything seems coming. You're getting this detection again. Like I said, somewhere on this one version of Babylon 4, there is more voices, and the crystalline it has actually amplifies some of the psionic residue again a little bit. But at the center of it, actually not even at the center of it, close to the front, all things considered, there is a zone of nothing. Less than nothing. Like, again, you're staring into a black hole, nothing.
That sounds like a very suspicious absence of psychic activity, and like something is very carefully blocking that area.
So?
I'm going to try to call it up on the radio, or whatever the equivalent is.
Call it up, you're going to try to hail it, or just listen in?
Hail it.
Okay.
You know, general broadcast, since I don't, I assume, have any idea what its radio capabilities or lack thereof. I mean, we know it has some, clearly, so we should be able to call it.
You're like, Dodgers, hailing frequency? And it goes, hailing?
General broadcast is fine, yeah. I guess.
Kali actually goes, I got it. tap. All right, hailing frequency's open. So who speaks?
Mirrorat's the captain.
Yep.
Mirrorat is currently engaged in her head.
I am having a psychic event at the moment. Thank you very much.
Hold on a second. One of the cards that came out was called Bad Decision. This is where this comes into play.
Oh, no.
There's a pause as they, okay, frequencies are open. What do you want to say? Nobody talks for a second. They look at Mirgrat. Mirgrat's in the middle of something on a psychic level. And you hear this voice. Let me handle this. I have it. No problem.
No.
Good
dear ship beyond the great crystalline Babylon 4. We, the crew of the Dodger, have a quick request. Can you please be open to a perhaps conversation at this point? Yes?
No.
I just wanted to see if anyone was alive down there. Jesus Christ.
And you thought I was only getting this second hand. I told you I would be available later on. But if you want to know what happened after my little speech calling out to Babylon 4, you must join us again for another episode of Odyssey, a Babylon 5 story. Here are my actors. Here are my performers. Jillian. It's so good to see you. What do you mean you were late? I was the one who was late. Oh.
And that's where we're in for this week. I want to thank everyone for joining us and hope that you continue to join us every 2 weeks for another episode of Odyssey. If you have any questions, comments, constructive criticisms, or just want to say hi, then you can find us at temporalplaygrounds.com/odyssey or email us at temporalplaygrounds@gmail.com or find us on Facebook, Odyssey, a Babylon 5 RPG podcast, or Reddit, r/OdysseyB5. Babylon 5 was created by J. Michael Straczynski and is owned by Warner Brothers Domestic Media. The Babylon 5 role-playing game was produced by Mongoose Publishing utilizing the OGL gaming license for D20. Our audio engineer is Gabriel Belden. Our theme music, Titan Striker, was composed by Evan King. Incidental music provided by Tabletop Audio at tabletopaudio.com. All other music provided by Creative Commons license and is available of information on our website. Once again, I am Daniel, and I thank you for joining us on this grand adventure. Good night, and keep dreaming.